You are listening to Business Day Spotlight.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners right here on Business Day Spotlight. This is our weekly spotlight where we give you what's going on in and around the South African economy. And this week we are back with more talk just around cryptocurrencies. And we're joined in studio by someone who's no stranger to our show. My name is Mliwa Gavasa and I'll be your host for the show. So we're joined in studio by Richard D'Souza, who is a senior partner at Altcoin Trader. And it seems that at the moment, some interesting news that's come out from Altcoin is the fact that they're expanding their trading platform to include precious metals such as gold and silver. And they're going to be partnering with leaders in the industry to provide more alternatives and actually encouraging some type of diversification when it comes to investment. So, Richard, how are you?
Ah, very well. Thanks very much for having me on the show.
All right. So why haven't we just stuck to the cryptos? I think that's the core question.
I think that what we've come to realize is that a lot of the people out there still don't know much about crypto.
Yeah.
So there is a whole pool of investors that are basically untapped. And a lot of guys have actually, because of the name of our company being Altcoin Trader,
yeah,
they've asked us, what alternative coins do you have? And we've had a lot of people that come in. But over and above that, it yeah, really is just a no-brainer. People want diversification in their portfolio. Gold and silver has always traditionally been a safe haven. And, you know, it continues to be some. So if you have a appetite that is not that, you know, you don't have a risk appetite for crypto alone,
yeah,
you can have a balanced portfolio on our platform, yeah, by diversifying into the gold and silver and the precious metals.
So does that mean Altcoin has sort of now become a commodities exchange?
Well,
because, you know, people are going to try to put some type of label on it somehow.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, it is, as far as I know, we're the first in the industry that has actually branched away from crypto only.
Yeah.
That's a very good question. Are we becoming a commodities exchange? Well, I would say no. It is really, at the end of the day, still goes back to our name, Altcoin. So whether it's Bitcoin or it's a gold coin, you know, we are really just simply providing diversity.
Yeah. Okay. No, it's an interesting one. I would not have sort of picked that as a direction that I thought Altcoin was going in. So it's very interesting that you've decided to go in that direction. What made gold and silver more attractive over, let's say, introducing more coins or different types of cryptos, for example?
Well, you know, we are seeing Bitcoin starting to dominate the crypto space.
Mm.
And a lot of the other coins are sort of falling behind very much. Now, with Bitcoin dominating so much and a lot of people becoming Bitcoin maximalist, we have started to try and be very, very selective about the coins that we do put on the exchange.
Yeah.
And we are currently in South Africa, we've got the most coins. Yeah. So it really... we are going to be putting on more coins in the future, but, you know, we want to pace ourselves and go slowly and make sure that the offerings that we are giving out are, you know, trusted coins and there are coins that are worthy to go onto Altcoin Trader.
What, how many coins do you have? Do you know?
At this stage, it's 20 coins.
20.
And that's excluding gold and silver. So 20 cryptocurrencies.
And apart from, I guess, the big ones being gold, not gold, sorry, being, I guess, Bitcoin and Ethereum. What else is big at the moment? I guess the top five.
Well, the top five would be it would be Bitcoin, Ethereum, Ripple or yeah, XRP, Bitcoin Cash, and you know, Litecoin. I think those are the top five, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
But we pretty much have got the top 20. We skipped one or two, you know, because obviously the top 20 changes all the time. We pretty much got the top 20 cryptocurrencies.
So sort of in line with what's going on elsewhere in the world.
Correct, yeah.
Okay. And are you guys still based just in South Africa or do you have another office somewhere else?
Well, we're still very much based in South Africa. I mean, we are a local exchange. We yeah, have seen a lot of interest from overseas clients and we have got quite a number of overseas clients. But essentially, we are proudly South African and, you know, based only in South Africa.
Okay. Something that I would be interested to know, I don't know, because most of the time when you're talking to traders of any kind, whether you're talking equity traders, currency traders, they always take, you know, the macroeconomic situation into account. And I wanted to maybe get a sense from you, does that feed in any way into the trading volumes that you see on the exchange, people investing in Bitcoin, etc.? Does it have any correlation with what's going on in the greater economy?
It very much does, and that's a very, very interesting question, because what I've noticed is that when there is, you know, sort of at this stage with our economy being in such turmoil, everyone is wanting to get get the rands hedged somewhere.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are saying, look, we need to start looking for alternatives. Mm. And even though in reality Bitcoin is uncorrelated to the economy, people start to say, oh, things are going to go bad, let's get into Bitcoin. And it almost becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
So because people think something's going to happen, I think it's very much the same with technical analysis. People say the price is going to go up because of X, Y, and Z. And then you find that because everyone is acting sort of with herd mentality, it actually starts to take place. So I would certainly say, just because of the fact that it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, that really does happen.
Mm. Because the other thing, and I'm not sure whether people talk about it enough, is, I guess over time, have you found, I guess, certain factors that affect volumes? Like, now, I guess on a technical side, yes, we could look at graphs and say, no, the trend is going to do this. But I guess fundamentals, are there any fundamentals that, when you see, for example, I guess a GDP number coming out or the rand dropping past a certain point, you say, okay, I think we're about to see a spike in Bitcoin sales, for example.
I think that does happen very, very often. You know, a lot of people in the crypto community, they always joke. They say any news is good for Bitcoin because if things go up, people say Bitcoin's going up. And as you mentioned, if the rand drops, you know, people say, let's buy Bitcoin.
Yeah.
They're always looking. So definitely when we see any major news, crypto has matured, fortunately. 4 or 5 years ago, when you saw negative news about crypto, you could see Bitcoin's price plummeting 40-50% overnight.
Yeah.
It has become very robust against that. But certainly, as you say, you know, when there is any type of concern or people are worried about the current economy in any way, shape or form, they do run into Bitcoin. And the more people that buy, the more the price goes up. So it has become sort of something that you can predict.
Mm. And the reason I'm asking all these questions is coming back to the gold and the silver. Because those usually tend to be, I guess, safe havens and stores of wealth. You know, if everything else fails, I know that I'm going to retain some type of value from gold or, you know, silver, right? So with that in mind, do you see Bitcoin leaning more towards being a store of value, or are people leaning more towards it being a means of exchange? That was sort of where I was trying to take our conversation.
Okay, I'm with you. So, look, gold, as you say, has traditionally always been a safe haven. But now, Bitcoin, and this is a hotly debated topic at this stage, because it is argued that a lot of Bitcoin's growth is currently because people are seeing it of one of two things.
Yeah.
Either a store of value, or they're investing because of pure speculation.
Mm.
So the traditional reason that, or the original reason that Bitcoin was brought out is no longer really been, is not at the forefront anymore.
Yeah.
It is a speculative or a store of wealth commodity at this stage. And there's a lot of people that don't really think that Bitcoin is a viable, you know, store of wealth.
Yeah.
But year after year, they are being proved wrong. Mm. So it should go that way.
Okay. So we are talking about Bitcoin. We're talking cryptos. We're talking gold, silver. We're with Richard D'Souza, who is senior partner at Altcoin Trader. We're just going to take a quick break and we'll be back after this.
The cryptocurrency revolution is a rabbit hole that goes deeper than just Bitcoin and blockchain. South Africa's revolutionary cryptocurrency investment platform, Revix, presents Beyond Bitcoin, your guide to the crypto future. Unpack the news, trends, and terminology live every Monday on The Gareth Cliff Show on cliffcentral.com. You can also download every episode on the Cliff Central app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. This is the Business Day Spotlight. We are in studio with Richard D'Souza, senior partner at Altcoin Trader, just telling us about some of the rationale and the decision around including gold and silver on the exchange, in addition to the 20 coins that they already have, the top ones. And I wanted to maybe shift the conversation to geopolitics. You know, US, China, we keep hearing about it, and it sometimes feels like it's this thing that's happening out there in the world between Trump and Xi Jinping. But how is it influencing either trading volumes or your decisions to actually have gold and silver there?
You know, yeah, it is something that we think is not really, you know, relevant in South Africa, but we see that because Bitcoin is a global currency.
Yeah.
And, you know, anything that happens internationally affects the price of Bitcoin, which has a knock-on effect to our local exchange users.
Yeah.
So, you know, with that in mind, obviously gold and silver really, it pushes it forward. It gives our guys more options. And it's something that we're starting to, you know, enjoy watching and seeing how this international news actually affects things, you know, day by day.
Yeah. I guess, in the same token, do any of the politics of South Africa feed into Bitcoin at all on the local exchanges?
I think that because Bitcoin is very much dominated internationally, South African politics, and because the South African crypto community is at this stage still reasonably small, it has sort of a minor effect, you know, almost a non-noticeable effect. Obviously, if we have announcements from the Reserve Bank or from the regulators, you know, in a negative way, that could affect the price. But we're not really seeing much of a correlation between you know, our local politicians and the Bitcoin price.
Okay. Now, something else that I haven't really heard being spoken about when it comes to crypto, specifically for Bitcoin, is mining. Are people still mining Bitcoin? Like, is that something that's still happening? Because I think 2012, 13, 14, that was something big that was happening. A lot of nerds had, they were banding computers together. They were trying to, you know, mine this stuff. Is that still happening or is it done now?
It's definitely still happening. And, you know, strange that you should ask, the mining network is constantly growing and is at the strongest that it's ever been. However, it has sort of found an equilibrium. And in South Africa, it is currently very difficult to mine.
Really?
I think because of the crisis we're having with Eskom and the electricity price.
Yeah.
So even if you are a good miner, you know, it is, you do well to break even. So after you've paid your electricity bill, we're not even talking about the capital outlay for the equipment. After you've paid your electricity bill, it's unlikely that you'll make a profit.
Yeah.
However, having said that, I can almost hear the miners in South Africa that are making profits saying that's not the case.
Yeah.
So to answer your question directly, there are a lot of people mining in South Africa and they are somehow being profitable. I've looked at it many times and it is a very, very tight business.
For some of our listeners who might not understand, because unfortunately cryptocurrencies face a lot of jargon, there's a lot of jargon that's involved. How does the process of mining work? And I guess what's the minimum setup that someone can have to actually viably mine Bitcoin? Do I need like a server farm? Do I need like, yeah.
Okay, so these, let me unpack that in two ways.
Yeah.
First of all, I've always thought that mining is a very complicated way to explain something to the general public because it makes no sense. I mean, we're not talking about a mineral that you're extracting from the earth. Mining should be more explained as these are the accountants or these are the people that are monitoring the ledger of the network.
Okay.
So they basically make sure that all the payments and all the income is allocated to the right people. They put it in what we call a block. You know, obviously that's why it's blockchain. And they publish that.
Yeah.
And because their computers do work, they get rewarded for it. So that's why it's called mining.
Yeah.
So if you want to, in your mind, just say accountants or ledger administrators, it might make it sound a little bit easier.
Yeah.
As far as what equipment you need, yeah. if you are going to do Bitcoin mining specifically, yeah. you need extremely powerful equipment. You'd need an ASICS miner. And, you know, you're looking at a high outlay. This is not a normal computer.
Yeah.
So there is expertise that is needed. You need a good internet connection, and you need obviously a lot of electricity, because these computers, it's not a computer, as I say, it's a miner. It really draws a lot of current.
Yeah.
However, there's a lot of cryptocurrencies that can be mined on a laptop. You know, some of them even can be mined on a cell phone. Mm. They're often and far between. But so it depends what you're looking at, because remember, there's over 3,000 cryptocurrencies. So it really becomes a huge, huge topic of discussion as to what you want to mine, what is profitable, and even if that coin will be around in, you know, 3 to 6 months or a year.
Mm. And as Altcoin, have you guys ever considered mining?
Look, we have never considered doing it as a profit, but we have certainly set up a lot of miners and done it because it helps us to gain knowledge in the industry, and we always wanted to be all-rounders.
Mm.
So we have certainly dabbled with that a lot, you know, like any technical people, we would like to know the ins and outs.
Yeah. And how is the deterrent the fact that you don't want to play a role as a miner and an exchange, or is the economic case just not, just doesn't make sense?
That's an easy answer. It's just that it doesn't make sense. It's not financially viable for us to mine. We, you know, once we've paid our electricity bills and for our equipment, we're running at a loss.
Yeah.
So it's just that simple.
Okay. Now, the last time we had you in studio, we were talking a lot around Libra and Facebook and all that. And that was sort of very early on, just after they had made that announcement. And since then, we've seen Facebook executives, you know, going before, you know, lots of hearings in America. And we hear that their policy teams, you know, running around the world, meeting with central banks and the like. So I wanted to maybe get a sense from you of, do you think any progress has been made from that front since we had our last conversation? Does it look like something that's going to be stonewalled, or something that's still going to progress and happen?
Okay, so I've done a little bit of research in that, and I've got strong opinions on that. So David Marcus, the, you know, the Libra guy that went and got battered, for lack of a better word, by the politicians and by Congress, you know, he took a couple of days of brutal battering.
Yeah.
Has basically failed to convince them in any significant way that they can continue with Libra mining.
Yeah.
So I don't think that the American government is going to allow it. I don't think that the governments throughout the world are going to allow it. And a very interesting thing, Facebook releases a paper to the investors, and they said in the latest paper that they released, they said that we may not be able to launch Libra coin in the time frame provided.
Yeah.
And what they said, which was very interesting, at the end of their sentence, they said, or at all. So in other words, they have put in writing that they may not be releasing Libra coin.
Oh, wow.
So I personally think that it has been stonewalled, and I don't think Libra will launch in any way that will be significant in the future. I could be incorrect on that, but that is my opinion, and I think that that is what we will see.
Wow, I was not expecting that. I was not expecting that, because, you know, sometimes some of the conversation is, no, they still have a long way to go, but, you know, we believe that somehow they're going to be able to launch it. So I think you're the first person I've heard just saying outright, no, this thing. Currently, with the way that things stand, I'm not seeing a future for this thing.
Yeah, and you know, I think it would be super exciting if it was launched. But to put it in a nutshell, Libra Association approached Congress, said, can we take over the world economy? And Congress said no.
And then lastly, have you guys ever considered having your own coin, I guess, for South Africa?
It's funny that you ask that. We have considered it a number of times.
Yeah.
And, you know, it probably is something that is going to happen, obviously, because of our reputation in the industry. And we've always made sure that if we release anything, it has value to the community.
Okay.
So to answer your question, it is something that we have thought about many times. We probably will launch a coin. You know, we have guys working on that right now. If we do launch it, it will absolutely have value and it will be meaningful in the community.
Okay. So you heard it on Business Day Spotlight that Altcoin might have its own coin, you know, in the foreseeable future, but it remains to be seen. There's a team working on it and we'll see what's actually going to happen there. We're with Richard D'Souza and he's telling us that on the Libra front, it's very tough at the moment, what's going on in Congress. And at the moment, Facebook hasn't really been able to justify this launch and hasn't really convinced policymakers that it's something that's worthy of being launched around the world. The other situation is just the fact that they have put gold and silver on the exchange because it is a safe haven and they're trying to diversify the options that they give to investors. Richard, how can people find you guys? And do you have any research that people can, you know, access, any thought pieces and the like?
Look, we, you know, our website's always the best place to find us. Yeah. You know, we're sitting currently with about 500,000 clients, so a lot of people do know about us. And that's obviously www.altcointrader.co.za.
Yeah.
On our site, we have a lot of material that people can read and, you know, they can do more research. In addition to that, I have a daily YouTube channel that I push out content on, and that you can be found at Rads Act, R-A-D-S. ACT.
Twitter?
Exactly the same handle for Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. It's all Rads Act.
Okay. I don't want to do... I'm trying not to get too much into the realm of speculation, but as we close off, December, is Bitcoin going to be above or below the sort of point that it's at right now? It's sort of stabilized. There was a bit of a doubling. I think it went from like 5,000 to 10,000 earlier in the year. Are we going to see any reverses in those gains, or do you think it's going to sort of hold steady for the rest of 2019?
Now, that's the question that the journalist always catch you with at the end of the discussion. But I always like to put forward my opinion. Bitcoin has rose dramatically. I mean, you know, earlier this year it was at $3,800. Mm. As we're speaking now, it's just under the $12,000 mark. I think at $11,900.
Yeah.
Which is really a very, very good climb for the year.
Yeah.
But now I think that towards the end of the year, because it often happens in December, we start to see these spikes. I think that we can actually expect a little bit more from Bitcoin.
Yeah.
But once again, it is a roller coaster. Yeah. So even though we might see those gains, they can quickly be taken away. So I think I am very positive in addition to this, and I've taken a lot of criticism for this statement, but I continue to make it. I can see Bitcoin going over R1 million.
Oh, wow.
You know, in the years to come, there is no doubt in my mind that Bitcoin will be R1 million a coin.
R1 million a coin.
Absolutely.
You heard it right, yeah? So that was us. Thank you so much to Richard D'Souza. He is a senior partner at Altcoin Trader. As you heard, their website, which is altcointrader.co.za, is where you can find their material. There's also, you can also engage on Twitter and on YouTube. So that's been it for today's show. Remember that you can get in touch with us. You can find our latest podcast on Business Life. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab. And then on Twitter, we are #BDSpotlight. And then you can subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. So thank you so much to our amazing team, our producer that is Paige Mueller. I've been Mudiwa Kavasa. And from the rest of the team, it's good evening, good afternoon, and good morning. Remember that Business Day Spotlight is a multimedia live production.